Well, good evening. Good to see those who are here. It's good to be back from Mountain City from preaching up there for their homecoming. Everything went great there. And so thank you for your prayers for our safety there and back. But want to welcome those who are on our social media platforms there. Be sure to like, heart, share, subscribe, all those things. It just helps to get the word out to more and more people. And then welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming also. If you need that number, see me after church or call the church office. We'll be glad to give that number to you. If you have access to the church website at home, go to the website, HighlandBaptistChurch.com. Just a couple of tabs over is the info tab. It's there that you can download the worship bulletin for this week, as well as the children's worship bulletins there. You can send those links to anybody you want. Use it as a way to invite people to come to church. Send them our bulletin and say, here's what's going on at our church. You might want to come and attend. And also under that that info tab is the prayer list for tonight. So be sure to get that downloaded. If you have prayer requests to share with us at home tonight, be sure to do that on Facebook Live. That's where we'll be looking at those prayer requests. And so be sure to do that. Don't forget also, while you're on the church website there, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your online giving there. It's a real easy platform, secure platform. I encourage you to do that. You can do that even from here, but you also have the offering envelopes in the pews in front of you. And then don't forget our Hoosier One emphasis that we're doing. Don't forget those cards that we have down here in front of the pulpit. If you need one of these at home for us to pray for an individual, on the top half, on the blue part, on the back of it, you just write the individual's name, send that back to us, or place it in the offering plate if you're here in person, and then we'll put that on the cross over here and create a new one for other people to be praying for your one also. But you keep that bottom half, which is a bookmark, to pray for 30 days for that individual through the scripture. So I encourage you to do that. Also want to remind you about our new members class. Don't forget that. That's on Sundays, 9:15. Brother Tommy teaches that class upstairs. We have a couple of people who've signed up already on the board out there. You can sign up on the board. You can just show up 9:15 that morning. But encourage you to go to that class, even if you've been a member for a while. It's a great class to go through. It's just 4 weeks, and then you could go back to your Sunday school class. If you don't have a Sunday school class, that class will help you to find a Sunday school class. And so encourage you to take the time to do that. You may find some places that you've not seen in the church before. And then also don't forget the YouVersion Bible app there. Go to that on your app stores there. Download that app. You can scan the QR code on your screen there. If you're looking for the app, it's that little brown Bible that's in the middle of that QR code when you're searching for it there. Once you find it, search for our church in the app, discover our church, and then once you've discovered our church, you click that as, set that as your church. Once you do that, it'll show you the Bible reading plan that we're doing, which is through the book of Psalms right now. That will finish the end of August for our second time through in that, so I encourage you to get in that right now. You still got plenty of time to get through the book of Psalms. And then at the end of August, we'll be putting another Bible reading plan up to get us back into the book of Ephesians for September as we go back to Ephesians to finish up the book of Ephesians. So just wanted to remind you that. We try to put a Bible reading plan on there that coordinates with our Sunday morning services. We also want to remind you about our missionaries. We'll share that in a little bit in our prayer time. So we'll hold off on that one. And then let me just share one other thing for you also. We have the deacon ballot forms that are down here on the sides of the stage. I think they're out in the hallways also. There's the box out there, and there'll be a box at that door this Sunday. But you can go ahead and pick those up and put those in the boxes this coming Sunday and then the following Sunday, and then we'll be tallying those up two Sundays from this coming Sunday, a week from this coming Sunday. So just wanted to remind you about all those things. I think that's all the announcements that I have. Brother Mike's not here for me to call on to come and lead the music. That's on me tonight. And so if you want to sing by the hymn on the screen or by your books, it's number 16. It's called Worship. I did not sync up there. It should be over in the songs, Ben. Go over in the playlist up top in songs, and you should find it. But 16 in your hymn books here in person, so you can go ahead and be turning there and have that. Worship the King. It's just 1 minute at home, and we'll have that on the screen for you. under the playlist for songs. Okay, if he finds it, we'll catch you up with it, but let's go ahead and we'll stand to sing our song tonight. Ms. Pat. Be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Ben, for working on the fly there to get things up for us. Let me pull a couple of things over here with some prayer requests that I have for some updates, and let me pull my prayer requests back out. All right. Hopefully, you've been able to get that downloaded at home so we can go over and share any updates that you have. So if you have any updates tonight, just stop me as we go through some of these and we'll be glad to update those. I've got some updates of some that individuals have sent me throughout today, as well as some new ones. And then we want to, of course, as we said a while ago, share about our missionaries in Moldova and some of their requests again. So on the Highland Baptist Church family side of your prayer request list there, we have Carolyn and S.W. Stone. Of course, she's also down at the bottom at the nursing home there. I've not heard any change there with her with the rehab she's been doing. Arthur Hargrove, keep him in your prayers. Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German. David Hess, the update that we have from today is that he's in his second round, of his treatments, and he is supposed to be having a scan sometime, whether that's after this round or after the next round. We know he's still got that ahead, and then they'll determine what they're going to do if there's any change there with him. So just keep him in prayers as he continues. He's in the middle of that second round and has to finish at least that. Possibly another round, but at least this one, and then a scan, or possibly another round, and then the scan. So keep him in your prayers. Keep Miss Linda Jones in your prayers. Brian Tate had some medical issues. He's still got some appointments coming up this week. Brother George Duncan, he has improved some. They did not get to do the surgery on his heart. They postponed that. He has been able to walk around some, and they were getting ready. Was it Sunday?
Monday.
Monday.
That's connected with Vanderbilt.
So they were sending him this past Monday, or that was the word we had, is that they were supposed to be sending him this past Monday to a rehab skilled center that's connected with Vanderbilt. And so keep him in your prayers as he'll go there, try to get his ability to walk and stuff back, and those kinds of things, make sure the heart's going well and all that. So just keep him in your prayers as he has transitioned through all of that. Any other update that anybody might have there? Tracy Kwa, she's coming up, I think, on her last week with her foot, and so keep her in your prayers as she finishes that. And then Keith Bailey, is in, yes. Okay, so Keith Bailey will be having his surgery on his heart tomorrow, and so keep him in your prayers. They'll be putting a stent in, I believe that's right, and rotor-rooter and all that, and possibly a stent. So keep him in your prayers. That will be tomorrow. Probably should be around noonish there. We'll update you as soon as we know that, and probably send a call out tomorrow for him. So keep him in your prayers as he goes through that tomorrow. Any other updates of any other Highland Baptist Church family? I have some other things, but all right. So if we will move over to the friends and family side of the list, we want to remember Bethany Stringfield Brooks in your prayers as she has her procedure coming up in October, her surgery. We've got Philip Schell. Any? Okay. Okay, so Philip Schell is progressing slowly, but showing some signs of improvement, so we praise the Lord for that. Just continue to keep him in your prayers. David and Joni Peck, Teresa Kohler, who is Matt Kohler's mom, she has a torn meniscus. Keep Brad Tatum in your prayers, recovering from his foot surgery. And the update I had from Diane and Ken the other day is that his surgery went well, but they found more damage than was originally expected, so it took more hardware to tie everything back together and is going to need longer time to recovery. So 10 weeks with his foot up in the air for at least 2 weeks of that 10 weeks. So keep him in your prayers as he continues to heal from all of that. Also want to remember Gita Trapp. This is Susan Solomon's mother. She had surgery this morning, and the surgery, she came through the surgery well, that we got the update this morning, and then later this afternoon she had gotten back to the room. The doctor said she did good. Now we're just praying that she'll be able to walk again and that her blood pressure will stay up. It's been bottoming out quite regularly. So thank you so much for all your prayers, Susan said, but continue to keep her in your prayers. And then we mentioned Dawson last week, who had the broken arm. Do you have any update on him? Yeah. Okay. So Dawson's in his cast, improving, but still has a couple of more weeks with that. So keep him in your prayers. All right. And then also, one other thing to do with our church. Well, let me just ask first if there's any other. I don't see any prayer requests there. Any others here? All right. Miss Linda Smith sent me this prayer request this afternoon to share with you for Awana. We've got Awana that's going to be starting the 1st of September. We have our kickoff the last Wednesday night of this month, so we won't be having our regular Wednesday night service in here that night, but want to encourage you to come just to talk with those families and especially those parents. We want to talk with them and build relationships with them, encourage them. Maybe God may open some opportunities there for us to share our faith with them. So encourage you to come that night. It's going to be a night of fun, some games, some fellowship and food. So it's going to be a great night that night. That's the last night, last Wednesday night of this month. But the prayer request is they're still needing 3 leaders in the Cubbies age group, which is the ages 4 through 5. And by having that many leaders, you don't have to do it all by yourself. And that's a great group to do. We do their Bible verse already in here, so that takes care of some of the load for the teachers for them on those nights. So we need 3 leaders for Cubbies, ages 4 through 5. We need a leader in music 2 Wednesdays a month. And then three more substitutes, just some people who could sub when somebody has to be out. We know Miss Linda will have to be out some, taking care of her parents, and so keep her in your prayers with that. But just pray that if you would be willing to do any of those opportunities, as working with Cubbies, working in music, just being a substitute, just floating around if you're needed to help in those areas, and just pray for the Lord of the harvest. And thank all those who have signed up for Awana already this year. And then also, let me share with you our Moldova missionaries, Ryan and Jenny Meredith, and the prayer requests for them. We'll share this again on Sunday as we share this new update. We've shared before about the communities that had opened up through the mayors there in those two different villages where there was no evangelical presence. So we thank you for your prayers there, but keep praying for a church services to begin soon there. But the next prayer request they had was to pray for the logistics to come together for a pastor's and wives and lay leaders respite weekend that they're planning this fall. Pastors and few co-laborers in their churches are overworked, tired, with many needs in their villages. We think we're tired, but they have a lot more things on them besides just the everyday burdens that we have living in the country there of Moldova and the things that they face. So keep them in your prayers, those pastors and co-laborers who are tired in those villages and they have needs there. We're praying this gathering, they said, will be an encouragement to their souls as we spur them on in their work and seek to walk along with one another and how they can continue to reach the villages that have no evangelical presence. And so we wanted to share that need with you tonight with Jenny and Ryan Meredith there and their family, as you see on the screen. So keep them in your prayers. Any other prayer requests of family or friends and family? Yes, I see that now. So keep the college students who are starting college at this time in your prayers. And so just keep them all in your prayers. We know regular school, the lower grades have already started, but college is starting back. So pray for all of those college students that are starting. And then on our nursing home assisted living list, we have Mary Campbell, who's at NHC, Peggy Eggleston at Life Care, Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Miss Janet Carter at MacArthur Manor, Sue Prince, Beverly Daniels, and Susie Barton at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, and Carolyn Stone at Life Care. Any others that we have? I don't see any others there on Facebook as I'm looking. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. If you're at home and you still need to put that prayer request on, please do that. We'll try to go back at the very end to catch that. If not, we will catch it for sure to add it to the prayer list for next week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings today. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for your presence with us and keeping us safe in your arms. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will wrap your loving arms around us tonight. Lord, as we come into your presence, we know, Lord, that we are sinful creatures and we need your forgiveness. So we ask your blessing of the cleansing of your precious blood upon us. Lord, wash us and cleanse us. Lord, that we would be forgiven of our sins as we come and confess those things before you. We don't want anything to hinder our relationship with you. So Lord, we ask you to just cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Bring any sins to light in our heart and life that we may need to confess that maybe we didn't realize. Maybe it's a word that we said to someone. Maybe it's a thought we had about a situation. Lord, whatever it might have been. Maybe, Lord, it's something that we know you impressed us to do upon our hearts, to maybe share with a person or to ask a person, how can I pray for you? And we didn't do that. Lord, forgive us for that. And we just pray, God, that you would renew us by the power of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, we pray that you'll make us more and more like Jesus and less like us. And we pray, God, that you will just pour out your Spirit upon us to enable us to do all that you've called us to do. Lord, we pray your blessings on the service tonight. We pray, God, that you will bless the reading of your word, the song that we've sang. Lord, we pray for our youth who are meeting tonight, also studying your word. Continue to give them a hunger and a thirst for you and for your word and for your presence in their lives. May they be faithful to follow you and to be a mighty army that you're raising up of faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray tonight as we come before you for each person that's on this prayer list tonight. We uplift them to you. We ask God for your healing hand to be upon them. We know you're the great physician, so divinely intervene in their hearts and their lives in a powerful way right now, wherever they are, whatever their situation is. You know them, and Lord, there's nothing too powerful, too big in their lives that is too much for you to handle. Lord, you're a powerful and an almighty God, and we know that you can handle all of these things and many more. So we uplift them to you. We ask, Lord, for you to embrace them in your arms. Let them know that you're with them. Bring encouragement to their hearts. Help them to keep pressing forward one moment at a time, one day at a time. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor for all that you're doing. And Lord, we expectantly look forward to the great and mighty things of the days ahead. Thank you, Lord, for the answer to prayers of those we've been able to remove from the list, because you've blessed them so much physically that they've continued to progress to get better. Father, we just pray that you'll be with these and be with their family members as they're struggling through these times, Lord, that you'll just encourage and strengthen their caregivers also. Lord, be with doctors and nurses and surgeons as those who have upcoming surgeries. Lord, that you'll lead and guide those surgeons to do the best that man can do. But Father, we just pray that your will be done in each one of these people's lives to bring the healing they need. Father, we pray tonight that as we come to study your word, may you pour out your spirit upon us in a powerful way. Help us to see your truth from the book of Isaiah once again, and may your blessings be upon us in a powerful way. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Isaiah. Let me pull a few things out of my Bible here. So Isaiah chapter 14 is where we're at tonight. Isaiah chapter 14. And this is really a continuation, if you will, of the last message that we did last Wednesday night when we looked at Babylon's disaster and the downfall of Babylon and what was going to happen there. And we saw the prophetic passages that we looked at. There's more prophetic passages we're going to look at tonight. So like last week, we looked at chapter 13 and saw Babylon's disaster. This week, we're looking at chapter 14 and we're seeing Babylon's ruler. Now, there's two emphases, if you will, in this chapter as there was in the previous chapter. So in one aspect, there is a physical Babylon. In another aspect of what we saw in chapter 13, there's the spiritual Babylon, the spirit of Babylon that continues through every age, because that's the spirit of the devil that continues to rise up against God. As we talked about, Babylon comes from the place of the Tower of Babel, which was an effort that man had then in building that tower to build the tower up to the heavens, to become God himself. And then God confounded them and confused them with the languages there. Well, in chapter 14, we see that the same thing is true. Not only is there a physical Babylon and a spiritual Babylon, there is a physical ruler we're going to see about, but there's also the spirit of the ruler that we're going to also note here. As we see, even in the New Testament, when we look in the book of Revelation, you see there's an Antichrist, but there's also the spirit of Antichrist that pervades throughout the ages. And so there's a specific individual who will be the Antichrist. As we're going to see here, there's a specific ruler of Babylon. But we're going to also notice this spiritual leader, the spiritual power behind all of these things. So the first point I want you to see here comes in verses 1 down through verse 12. And I want you to see the power behind every evil throne. The power behind every evil throne. And so as we're going to look at these verses, Isaiah 13 here we're going to see clearly prophesies the fall of Babylon, but we look deeper, and as we said, it refers to the literal city of Babylon, but it refers to the God-hating, self-exalting spirit of Babylon. And we see this again in verse 1.
down through verse 3. So verse 1 begins in chapter 14. For the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, and will again choose Israel, and will set them in their own land, and sojourners will join them, and will attach themselves to the house of Jacob. What are sojourners when you're looking at that in the Old Testament? Those are foreigners. Those are people who are outside of the Jews. What he's talking about there are Gentiles who are going to come and be united. That's us today. So he's talking about spiritually what's going to happen there also. These sojourners will join themselves and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. Verse 2. And the peoples will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them in the Lord's land as male and female slaves. They will take captive those who were their captors and rule over those who oppressed them. So in their day, there were going to be those who were Gentiles that they were going to overcome, and they were going to become their slaves and their servants. But in the New Testament, we see we as Gentiles are grafted into the Jewish faith in that respect of the Jewish Messiah. Who was to come. And so Isaiah 14 here is going to focus on the king of Babylon, the one who pushes the empire of Babylon to its dizzying heights, if you will, of its domination. Obviously, in every great human empire, there must be great human leaders. So we can take the king of Babylon to refer to at least that leader. So let's read the rest of the verses down through verse 15. Or actually, we'll just read down through verse 12 for now. So verse 3 goes on to say, when the Lord has given you rest from your pain and turmoil and the hard service with which you were made to serve, in other words, that punishment that's going to come upon the Jews, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has ceased, the insolent fury ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers that struck the peoples in wrath with unceasing blows, that ruled the nations in anger with unrelenting persecution. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. The cypress rejoice at you. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were laid low, no woodcutter comes up against us. Sheol beneath is stirred up to meet you when you come. It rouses the shades to greet you, all who were leaders of the earth. It raises from their thrones all who were kings of the nations. All of them will answer and say to you, you too have become as weak as we. You have become like us. Now, let me just say a word of caution here. When you get to verse 11, it gets a little bit disgusting when you read verse 11. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol or to hell, the sound of your harps. Maggots are laid as a bed beneath you, and worms are your covers. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn, how you are cut down to the ground who laid the nations low. Now, when we get over to verse 12 to verse 15, verse 12 to verse 15 goes far beyond what we would expect of just a mere human leader. So we said this is a king of Babylon, all this is speaking about, this taunt that they are saying against the Babylon king as well as the Babylonian nation. You know, it's amazing when you look at how the Bible puts all the stuff together, and it all comes to a climax in the book of Revelation. When you look at Isaiah 14 here, in this chapter, it starts off with the ruler of Babylon, and it seems like the initial verses here are talking about some historical ruler of Babylon. When the Lord has given you rest from your pain and turmoil and hard service, he says in verse 4, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. That's talking about a physical king. Now, we don't know exactly who this ruler was. It could have been a number of people. But it says that in verse 4, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has ceased, the insolent fury ceased. We know it was one of the leaders. So the word taunt there, in other versions, is translated the word proverb, and it means a funeral song. a funeral song. I remember when I was growing up, and I used to go to church with my grandmother a lot, and a lot of times there were certain songs that we would sing in our congregational hymns, and my grandmother would, she would just shake her head, and she'd always be saying, "Why are they singing a funeral song?" Precious memories. That was one of those I remember that she would always say. So she had in her mind certain songs that was a funeral song. You may think of some songs that you've heard at funerals before. They're unlike this song. This is a funeral song, a funeral dirge here. It's a taunt. It's a proverb. Now, so whoever this king may have been, whether it's Nebuchadnezzar or whether it's Belshazzar or whoever, they take up this taunt against this kingdom, this king. How the oppressor has ceased, the insolent fury ceased. Look again down to verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. In other words, here's a ruler and they're glad that he's gone. Wouldn't it be awful to live your life in such a way that when you die, everybody wants to sing a song and rejoice? I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad she's gone. That's the emphasis of this passage. They all start singing the song, "Thank God he's gone. Thank God he's gone." Then we come down to verse 9, and we see the picture here in verse 9 of hell. And we see the kings of the earth who've already died and gone to hell. Sheol, the place of death beneath, is stirred up to meet you when you come. That's what it's saying to this king in this song. You're going to hell, and when you get there, it's already been stirred up. They're waiting to meet you at the entrance there to hell. They hear that the king of Babylon is coming down. He's dead. He's already on his way down too. Verse 9 continues on and says, "It rouses the shades to greet you, all who were leaders of the earth. It raises from their thrones all who were kings of the nations." So the chief ones or the kings there of the earth are already there, and they've been stirred. They know this king, who is a horrible king, is on his way. And so it's speaking of all those kings down there in the throes of the fires of hell, as verse 10 goes on to say, all of them will answer and say to you, "Yep, you thought you were a big guy, but you become weak just like us, and you become just like us." What a picture we see here. These ungodly who are already in hell are excited, preparing to meet this Babylonian king when he gets there. They're saying to him, the scripture saying they're getting ready to greet you, this ghostly dead, all the famous names of the earth, make yourself at home with us dead people. And that's gruesome enough to think about the horror of that. And maybe we didn't want to hear all that. You're thinking, I want some encouragement from the scriptures tonight. And we will get to some encouragement here, so hang in there. But then you get to verse 11, and it gets worse. They're singing to him now. He's coming down there, and they're taunting him. And verse 11 says, "Your pomp, all that pomp and circumstance you had as the king of Babylon, is being brought down to Sheol, the sound of your harps. Maggots are laid as your bed beneath." You've got a bed of maggots, and the only thing you have to pull over you to get you warm is a bunch of worms crawling all over you. That's yuck. Yes. Awful picture. It's like having a king-size mattress of maggots for your sleep, a quilt of crawling worms to keep you warm. That gets all over you, doesn't it? It's kind of like thinking about spiders. How would you like to lie down on a bed of maggots and cover yourself up with worms? I mean, talk about a reality show there. You haven't seen a reality show until you go to hell and see these kings come down to hell. Know this, that God is in charge. Then all of a sudden, we move from history to prophecy. In verse 12, another personality comes to the forefront. "How you are fallen from heaven, So he's still talking about the earthly king, but he's also now talking prophetically about this coming person. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn, how you are cut down to the ground, who laid the nations low. So, O day star, son of dawn, some versions translate it Lucifer. Jerome, when he wrote his Latin Vulgate version of the scriptures and translated it back in the day, one of the early church fathers, that's the way he translated it. So, if you read a King James version, you'll notice it says Lucifer rather than the O day star, son of dawn. Lucifer just means shining one, And isn't that the way we describe the devil? He's like an angel of shining light that comes disguising himself and deceiving others. Well, in that day, that term, that word for day star or son of dawn was a common name for the planet Venus, seen to be the morning star. And now all of a sudden we seem to be seeing someone besides the historical king of Babylon. Because what you have in these verses is a presentation of none other than Satan himself. If you read over in the book of Ezekiel, you'll read this same phrase in Ezekiel 28 and verse 12 that says, Son of man, or O Lucifer, which we said already means shining one, which is the devil. He's trying, this person, this individual, this spirit here is trying to mimic what we'll see later as the Lord Jesus, who is the bright and morning star. He's trying to imitate him. And then notice what his ambition was as you come to verse 13 and verse 14. We'll say more about these two verses in a moment, but verse 13 and verse 14 says this, You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like who? The Most High. That's God. But you are brought down to Sheol. You are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. So throughout history, the interpretation of this passage, many have seen this as a poetic reference to Satan, the chief fallen angel, the leader of the rebellion against God. So you have two things it's speaking of here, the literal king of Babylon and Lucifer, the devil himself, who is said to fall from the heavens. So we know that's not a physical person who's fallen from the heavens. That's Lucifer, who has done that, Satan, who has done that. And so he's called a destroyer of nations. And notice his ambition is to ascend to the heavens, is to set his throne above the stars of God. Look in those two verses there, in verse 13 and 14. How many times do you see the words, I will? Five times. He says, I will, I will, I will. I will, I will. And God says, oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you won't. Because look again at what he says in verse 15. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. So understand the picture we're getting here. Behind this literal king of Babylon, we see the puppet master, if you will, who is Satan, who is dominating world history by controlling the tyrants, the kings, and the leaders who do his bidding. Satan is a master of disguises, and he delights in remaining hidden as he makes evil leaders to dance to his wicked tune, if you will, like puppets. He masquerades as a speaking serpent in the Garden of Eden. So God correspondingly spoke his curse to Satan through the disguise of the serpent. So also in Isaiah chapter 14, Satan masquerades behind a human puppet, the real king of Babylon. So God speaks not only to this king, but also shares Satan's judgment through that alias. It's the exact same approach that God takes to decree judgment on the king of Tyre in Ezekiel chapter 28. In both cases, we have this lavish language that exceeds the boundaries of what would ordinarily be spoken of just a human king. And so Satan here is desiring to remain hidden behind every evil throne, moving evil leaders to do his bidding by his clever temptations, by his evil schemes and deceptions. And so he's able to fill his human puppet persons, leaders, with similar outrageous ambitions that he has that are listed here. So many of the tyrant kings throughout history themselves have been. And so you think of people like Alexander the Great, who would come later, who thought he was an incarnation of Zeus Ammon, mixing the chief deities of the Greeks and the Egyptians. You think about the Caesars of Rome. Do you remember that the Caesars in your history, that the Caesars of Rome professed themselves to be gods? That's all the spirit here of this master puppet behind the spirit of Babylon here. We see people like Hitler, who was worshipped as a Messiah by the German people. All of those tyrants all embrace the same delusions that he's saying here, that I will, I will, I will. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. He says, I will sit on the Mount of Assembly. I will set my throne on high. I will ascend to the heavens. I will. That's the spirit here, the puppet master, Satan, who's behind that leader and behind those leaders throughout history. Those tyrants embrace that same kind of achievements there and things in their lives. They delight in them. They murdered those who opposed them. They craved and accepted worship. But these human tyrants, they're just mere puppets on a string. Their ambitions and their actions have been the responses to the promptings of the satanic power behind every evil throne throughout history. Satan, the god of this age, what the Bible calls the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the disobedient. Some of those tyrants, like Adolf Hitler, have secretly embraced occultic powers. Others, like Mao and Stalin, denied the very existence of Satan. And so no matter what, though, they were all dancing, if you will, on the end of strings, held by this dark intellect far above their own. So Isaiah 14 here is addressing both the human kings directly, but also the puppet master, Satan, and consigns them both to the same fate, to be tormented in this final place of death here that Matthew 25, 41 says, the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, a place where their bed will be maggots and their blanket of cover would be worms. That's the power behind every evil throne. Here's the second thing I want you to see, is the power above every evil throne. The power above every evil throne. So the tone of Isaiah 14 is one of unbridled celebration. We're happy this guy's gone. We're singing the songs of triumph of this formerly oppressed by this tyrant who's oppressed us, the king of Babylon. And this king of Babylon has caused pain, as verse 3 talked about, has caused torment and hard labor. He was a raging oppressor, as verse 4 talks about, whose scepter dominated the lesser kings and struck the nations of the world with unceasing blows and relentless persecution, as verse 6 talks about. But now his seemingly undefeatable tyrant has been thrown down by the sovereign power of the Almighty God, the power who is above every throne, including every evil throne. So the Lord's power over the king of Babylon is plain throughout this chapter. Notice in verse 5, it's the Lord who breaks his scepter. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers. In verse 15, God casts him down from his lofty throne down to Sheol. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. The justice and the judgments of the Lord are all throughout this chapter. So in the context of the latest oracle against the Assyrians, verse 26 clearly declares God's sovereign power, his plan prepared for the whole earth, his hand stretched out over all the nations. God is the power above all evil thrones, including Satan's. And we'll look more in detail at that as we go further into this chapter. So when Satan fell from earth, understand what happened. It plunged this creation into chaos. Here you have the whole reason for it. It was pride on the part of the devil. As we see there in verse 13 and verse 14, the I wills over and over and over. Pride. What does the Bible tell us about pride? It says pride goes before destruction. Sometimes we make up our mind that we're going up, and God says, no, you're going down. We make up our mind sometimes we're going down, and God says, nope, you're going up. James chapter 4, verse 10 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 and verse 6 says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. That's why when we get on down to verse 16 and verse 17, we see that Satan made this whole world a wilderness. Notice verse 17 says, let's read verse 16 and verse 17. Verse 16 says, those who see you, talking about this great and grand king of Babylon, when they see at you, they're going to stare at you and ponder over you. They're like going to be scratching their heads. Is this the man that made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? Is this the man? Now he's down here in hell. You see, when Satan fell from heaven, he made the world a witness, so a wilderness. So you have this physical king who goes to hell. You have Satan who ultimately himself is going to hell. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through verse 11 talks about when the second time here, when Satan is finally completely cast out of heaven. It says there a war rose in heaven. Michael and his angels in Revelation 12, 7. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, the dragon was, and there was no longer any place for them, for him and his demons in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, so we get even more specific here, who that person is, the deceiver of the world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. So understand this, in the garden, you remember in the garden, there was judgment that was cast upon Adam, there was judgment that was cast upon Eve, but there was judgment that was cast upon the serpent. And so there was a fall in the beginning with the serpent. He was cast down from heaven at that point, but he still had access to heaven. How do we know that? Because over and over the scripture tells us that he is our accuser. He goes before God accusing us over and over. If you don't believe that, look at the book of Job. What did the devil do? He goes and accuses Job and says, you know, if you weren't so nice to Job, he would curse you. And that begins this whole process of what happens in Job's life in Job chapter 1 and verse 2. We're told there that Satan had access to heaven. But what we see in the book of Revelation is there's going to be another fall. In Revelation 12, 7, the dragon, that's Satan. Verse 8, the devil's about to get kicked out of heaven. What did verse 8 say? Verse 8 said he was defeated. There was no longer any place for them in heaven. And then you read verse 9. And verse 9 goes on to say, and the great dragon's thrown down, the ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He's thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. What you're reading in Revelation is something yet that's to happen out in the future. It's not talking about something that happened back in the past. And so we see it's a future thing that's still to happen there. And then you look at verse 12 of that same chapter in Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation 12, 12, it says this, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because," notice what the scripture says, "he knows that his time is short." So when this happens, this is happening in those very last days of the last days here, when he is totally cast down from heaven, and he knows, because he already knows what the Word of God says and what's going to happen, he knows his time is short. And then when you read over to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, it says this, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So the picture is this, from chapter 13, Babylon's gone. Think about all that Babylon ever did to the nation of Israel. They're gone. They've been wiped off the face of the earth. And the devil is going to be gone. The devil is going to be gone. This leader, this king of Babylon, is gone. But the devil, talking about here the prophetic part of this passage, is also going to be gone. So we see who is the one over, above the evil thrones is God. And that leads us to our third and final point here, God's sovereign plan, which is the eternal joy of his chosen people. So notice verse 24 all the way down to verse 32. So if you'll remember, chapter 13 began as the oracle concerning Babylon. Chapter 24 begins an oracle concerning Assyria, or in verse 24. And then verse 28 begins an oracle or a burden, as we talked about last week, concerning Philistia or the Philistines. And that all comes in to this whole message here, not only about Babylon, but about Assyria as well as the Philistines. Assyria was the nation who came first to attack Israel and Jerusalem that we read about earlier in Isaiah. Then the Babylonians come, and that's where we have just finished with what this judgment is about in verse 23. And then verse 24 begins and says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. As I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains trample him underfoot. And his yoke shall depart from them, and his burden from their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died, came this oracle. Rejoice not, O Philistia, all of you, that the rod that struck you is broken. For from the serpent's root will come forth an adder, and its fruit will be a flying, fiery serpent. And the firstborn of the poor will graze, and the needy lie down in safety. But I will kill your root with famine, and your remnant it will slay. Wail, O gate, cry out, O city, melt in fear, O Philistia, all of you, for smoke comes out of the north, and there is no straggler in his ranks. What will one answer the messengers of the nation? The Lord has founded Zion, and in her the afflicted of his people find refuge." So we see in these verses here God's wise plan and his sovereign hand, especially there in verse 26 and verse 27 that talked about his purpose. Verse 26 said, his purpose, this is the purpose that is purpose concerning the whole earth. So he began with Babylon back in chapter 13. Now he's talking about the Assyrians. Then he's talking about the Philistia. And he's saying this is for all the nations of the earth, as we're going to continue to see with the rest of the oracles, the rest of the burdens that we're going to look at here. Verse 27, for the Lord of hosts has purpose. Who's going to turn God's plan back? Who's going to thwart his plan? His hand is stretched out. Who's going to turn it back? And so we see there in those scriptures that God's wise plan and his sovereign hand are ultimately the reason the people are rejoicing. He's the reason they're singing the song of chapter 14 there. And so even though Israel and Judah had rebelled against God and had been under these tyrant kings, one king of Babylon after another, God is going to settle them in their own land and rule over their oppressors in power. Even better for us as Gentiles, in Jesus, we have become Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. Those are the foreigners that unite with Jacob and Israel in the promised land and ultimately in the new heaven and the new earth that we talked about in the earlier part of this chapter. So we're one day also going to look with triumph forever on the wicked oppressors. One of these days, we're going to be gathered around the throne, and what are we going to be doing? Singing praises. We're going to be singing about God and his greatness. One of these days, God is going to get rid of all of the enemies. There's no enemy stronger than death. And when God wills to bring death, the death penalty on the king of Babylon, there's nothing the king can do to stop God and his plan and his purpose. God spoke each of those people and those parts of creation into existence, and he can bring every one of them down to hell forever and ever. So these human tyrants, they all succumbed one after another to death. A Babylonian king, drunk and sluggish in his purple robe bed as warriors from the Medes came in and stormed in and killed him while he slept. A Roman Caesar whose word made nations tremble and convulse, being assassinated with a dagger between his ribs by one of the Praetorian guards as he leaves the Colosseum. A Nazi dictator in a concrete bunker, putting a bullet in his head while Russian troops burned his capital around him. His corpse being dragged outside and doused with gasoline and set ablaze and burned completely. A Soviet ruler wheezing and gasping as he choked on his last few breaths and dies in a seizure. A Chinese communist chairman lying helpless in his bed, stricken by a heart attack and trying to speak, but unable to make anything but a soft, quiet whisper. You think about all of the dictators and all of the evil rulers throughout history. All of them succumb to the enemy, death. Every single one of us, no matter how high you are, no matter how low you are, will die. And on Judgment Day, we see here that Satan himself will no longer be able to resist God's final decree on him. He won't be able to resist any more than his puppets did. The final puppet will be the beast from the sea in Revelation 13, the Antichrist. He'll be the most powerful of all the satanic rulers. And yet, both Satan and the beast will be consigned to the lake of fire on that final day. They'll burn alike forever and ever, no difference between them. And so no one is going to be strong enough to escape it. One of these days, though, for us, God is going to get rid of death. There's not going to be any more death. Unless Jesus tarries till his coming, we may die physically. But there's some good news for us tonight. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, death is going to be nothing more than a way to carry you into the presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. When it's all said and done, the bottom line is, it is going to be that Jesus wins. And so why would anybody get on the losing side and follow the devil? Get on the winning side and follow Jesus. You already know how the story ends. If you've given your heart and your life to Jesus, live for Jesus,
and you'll come out on top. When the world's on fire and the devil's gone to hell, we'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. What an encouraging passage to read, yet also a fearful passage to see what's coming in the judgment. Father, I pray that as we have seen this king of Babylon coming down from his lofty grandeur of pride that he elevated himself to, saying, I will, I will, I will, and really only being a puppet to Satan, who is the ultimate one who said, I will, I will, I will. Father, I pray that you would help us to realize that that spirit permeates our world today. Because over and over and over, people say, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Father, I pray that we will take the message of the gospel to this lost and dying world, that they will know, Lord, that you have made a way where there seemed to be no way. Father, that you have made a way for them to come to know you personally, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that we as believers would be faithful to sing the praises of Jesus Christ until that day that either we go to meet you through death or the trumpet sounds and you call us home to be with you. Whichever way, Lord, help us to be faithful till our last breath. And we give you the glory and the honor for all that's coming. We ask you to help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us tonight online there. We'll be back Sunday morning, 9:15 for Sunday school. Don't forget that new member Sunday school class. Even if you're not a new member, come forward. If you want to know about more about our church, that's a great place to start. We can help you get plugged into some more Bible study groups there. But you come 9:15 for Sunday school on Sunday and then 10:30 for our worship service. But you have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.